Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul writes, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to you for your word. This world needs your word. But Lord, we know that the world is not going to take it in, all of it. And Lord, we hope and pray that you will save out of the world those who will hear your word. So today we're concerned, Lord, for our minds. And may they be renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse might, to you at first glance, be considered a commercial for filters, that it's speaking of something being put between the world and our minds so that we're not affected by the world. But it's not about a filter. Now, we surely need filters. I doubt there's anything in the house that doesn't use a filter. You got air filters, oil filters, gas filters, everything has a filter, coffee filters. But, and we should commend, thanks at homecoming, at how many people have kept evil from us, who have stood in the way and stopped it. That's great. But this is not about filters. This verse speaks directly to our minds without reference to a go-between. Our minds by themselves are fertile ground for all manner of wicked thoughts and actions. We don't even need the devil to make us do it. The mind has enough capacity to do evil all on its own. And so the source needs to be changed. The world tries to fix things. I give them credit for that. The world recognizes that if you're drunk, that you should not drive. And I practice that myself. If I ever get drunk, I am not going to drive. You know why I'm going to do that? Because I'm sober right now. But if I got drunk, I imagine I would just hop in the car and drive. Why? Because I'm drunk. You think a drunk's going to say, "I can't drive that car"? No, you can't really. You've got to change the mind of the drunk, that he not drive. In our natural state, we crave sin. That is the issue. We want to, by nature, sin. I've told you before, it's an illustration here, this is not a sin, but when we took a sequoia to the beach for the first time, Jessica, after we got her, we got there late in the day, weren't dressed for the beach, couldn't go in the ocean, so we said she could put her feet in the ocean, and that's it. 5 minutes later, she was completely wet. She had ocean all over her. She started in the walking around, but it didn't take long before she was into the waves. That's the nature. You give a law, she just went right through it. Because it was, you know, just too much fun. This verse addresses the receptor of all the streaming that's going on in the world, the mind itself. That our minds change, and that our minds become unable, as much as we can, to be corrupted by the world. My stomach has become nonconformist. It's been transformed over several things. I once ate spinach, and my stomach was transformed. And now I no longer even have the desire to try it. It's been transformed about broccoli, as you know. And If your mind is transformed, it doesn't mean that evil is not going to hit you. It means that you're no longer desirous of chasing after it. So some people at this point will say, I like my mind just as it is. Thank you very much. I don't want to change it. I don't want it to be changed. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Lot, when he moved to Sodom, had to be dragged out of Sodom. He was about to be destroyed. He had to be dragged out. He went there as a sojourner. Then he was at the gate in charge of something. And when it was time to be taken out of the city, he couldn't go. He had to be dragged out. He delayed. His wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. It gets into you if your mind is not transformed. Now, it doesn't matter, really, if you don't want a renewed mind. God wants you to have one. We've been too often objecting to the Word of God based upon what we want. My mom used to tell me to clean my room. She said, I want you to clean your room if you feel like it. If it sets in with your schedule, she said, clean your room. Actually, it was not exactly that way. It was just that, clean your room. There was no alternative. So God says here in this verse, do not be conformed to this world. But I want to. But it doesn't matter what you want if God wants you to have a transformed mind. Let's first of all talk about the world. And I mean the world's way, not the planet. There are people that are saving the planet. Bless their hearts. I saw a commercial yesterday or the day before, I think. I guess it was yesterday. That a company has aimed to be carbon neutral by the year 2050. As I said before, bless their hearts. Carbon is what provides life on Earth. I guess they want to be done with that. This is, more people are anxious to serve the world. But the Bible says about the world's ways, what we're talking about today. The world's deeds are evil, John 7:7. This is why men love darkness rather than light, John 3:19. And 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. If you want to fix the world, where do you go? You want to know where the world goes? To the world. Which lies under the power of the evil one. It's not going to get fixed there. The world's people want affirmation, not rebuke. If you don't pay your taxes right, what do you want from the IRS? You want affirmation, don't you? You want them to tell you, oh, you made a mistake. We understand. We've been charging you too much taxes anyway. Just forget it. We're affirming your right to be a tax dodger because you made a mistake. No, no, no. They'll take your house, your children, your way of life. The world wants affirmation. The people alive before the flood wanted praise, not correction. They wanted affirmation. The people who were building the Tower of Babel, the city of Babel, wanted to have their building exploits admired. Oh, look how great the building is. Israel and Judah wanted Jesus to save them from Rome, not from sin. Before that, Israel and Judah didn't want the prophets meddling in their business. They wanted to be affirmed, be left alone. The world wants to be the world all the way to the end. If you look in the book of Revelation, the world still being the world, the devil still being the devil. In fact, the Bible says that when the devil in Revelation finds out he's got a short amount of time, he does more evil. He doesn't back off. He goes more. And this is the way it will be. Now, there is a beauty is in the eye of the beholder defense about all this. And when you start talking about what the world wants and what God wants, It's ever more present in our day. You get the beauty is in the eye of the beholder defense, which means what I'm doing to me is good. And you should accept that, which is the basis of affirmation. We're up to our ears in identity politics today. You can't just be somebody, you know, who has done something good. You got to be somebody that's done something good. Like, you're the first golfer to win the U.S. Open who, when you were 7 years old, walked across the bridge and fell in, and the cart fell in after you, and a fish bit you. You're the first golfer to win the U.S. Open. It's that way. That's identity politics. That's identity in something other than the Lord. The individual is thought to be the king, all the way down to kids. The president said to affirm the gender identity of your kids. I'm still mad at him about that. If I like the way I am, it's good. You have to accept it. I love it. Mom, I love a messy room. Oh, okay. The world then demands conformity. If you take this verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Take out the and the do and the not, and you've got the world. Be conformed to this world. That's what the world wants. The world wants you to be conformed to it. Remember in school, you made a bad grade on the test? How many others in the class did you want to make a bad grade? Every single one of them. You failed, they all failed. You ask them, what did you make? Hoping they failed. You don't want to make a good grade. Everybody to conform. That's what the world wants. The world wants conformity. Give God some credit that when he tells us here to not be conformed to the world, he is telling us something for our good. He is telling us something that will keep us from a very, very bad place, which is what we're seeing more and more today. So that's the world. The second, let's talk about the transformed mind. Transformation stands apart from the world. The world's word is conformed. The other word is transformed. You get conformed to the world. You get transformed. That's outside of the world. The world can't do it. Religion? People say, well, religion might do it. Every attack against the United States, terror attack, has been by a religious person, usually. Religion's not it. Baptists are, no, that's not the answer. To be a Baptist, religion won't do it. Plenty of gods in the world. Back in when the New Age craze was going along, somebody said, sit in your tub, your bathtub, and put crystals on the corners and kind of lull away there. Don't go under. Just lull away there, and you'll get some harmony in your spirit. I never tried it. I have an opinion about it. What you'd end up being is, a little bit, you'd have a bath and you'd be wet and you'd have crystals on the corner of your bathtub. And you'd want to get those off before company came over. Some say psychology, education. That's not going well with that either. We don't need a better world to have a transformed mind. The world doesn't give us permission for that. The world doesn't have to get better so we can have a transformed mind. They don't have to cooperate with us in that. The Lord doesn't here depend upon the world to incline itself. Now, there are times in the world where we are in season with the gospel. And there are times in the world when it's out of season. But both times we're to preach the gospel. Preach the word in season and out of season. We don't wait for the world. And the encouraging thing is the world can't stop it. The world cannot stop the progress of God in saving people and in carrying out his will. They can't stop it. There's a Calvinist word for that. I don't have to tell you because we talked not that long ago about it. You cannot stop. Some will not come, but some will. And the world will say, no, we're going to continue to live in sin. We're going to continue to live separated from God. But it will not prevail, because God will accomplish his will. Now, transformation then of the mind is God's work. It means to change the nature, function, or condition of something. You change it into something else. Now, I saw when I was younger that there are these cars. They look just like cars. They drive around. They're just like cars. But then when something bad happens, they start changing. They transform. In my church in North Carolina, my pastor before coming here, there was a boy there who told me about transformers. Transformers are more than meet the eye. And I think it was Septimus Prime or something like that. And they just turned into some kind of monstrous thing. You got your little Volkswagen bug. It comes up and it's tall as a building. That is a radical change. I kind of wouldn't mind my car doing that. That's a radical change. Somebody pulls over into your lane, cuts you off. But that's what transformation is. And it is a work of the power of God. Salvation is all about the power of the Lord to raise the dead. The provision of Christ to provide salvation, the election of God to call, the call of sinners, opening of the hearts, the creative power of the Spirit to regenerate, all that's of God. And a new creation is made. Old things are passed away and all things become new. I mentioned before my dad, when we had his service, and I told you I did the service, the sermon here for those who weren't there. My dad, when he got saved, was sitting right here on the left of me at Lynn First Baptist Church in Lynn, North Carolina. He was sitting right there in the pew next to me on that day. I was 17. There he sits. He started going to church. Didn't understand why, so we all were going to church. There he's sitting there, and he was turned into a new creature right next to me. And I didn't even feel a vibration. He was broken. He sought the Lord. His heart was open. He was a new person. He went forward. Of course, and as I mentioned at the service, that doesn't save you. He just went forward to pray and to really be guided in that, to understand what had happened. And he was saved. He was made new. The next day, nobody told him this. The next day, he's up before work. He's in the sunroom of the house, reading the Bible and praying and taking notes. And that was day one of his new life. And he was never the same. He was never as he was. Completely made new. How did that happen? It wasn't the church. It wasn't the sermon. God can use these things. But it was the power of God that saved him. And so what we're talking about here is the radical changing of our minds. Things that we do not favor in the will of God, we then would begin to favor. Now we all can change our minds, but God only can transform the mind. You may in the mornings look at yourself in the mirror, and you may turn this way and say, do I look better here? Or do I look better from this side? And it's hard to decide, isn't it? So you're looking, is it here? Well, I don't know. Is it here? Well, I mean, that's just your change in your mind. But transformation is a work of God where your feelings, your perception, your thinking, your desires, and your imaginations change. You're a different person inside. Your conversation changes. Your desires change. God turns us to want the will of God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lost people don't say that. To know him, the power of his resurrection. Saved people say that. So this is the last thing the world wants for us. The last thing the world wants is for us to be new. The last thing the world wants is for our minds to be transformed. It's like, you know, some of you are for Clemson, some of you are for South Carolina. Those of you who are in South Carolina, you do not want Clemson to get that star recruit on their team. You don't want them to have that new lineup. And the same way from Clemson to South Carolina. Somebody's wanting to sign with South Carolina who's an exceptional player, blue chipper. No, I don't want them to do that. Well, the world doesn't want us to be better. The world wants us to be new. That's the whole point of conformity. The world wants us to be the same as the world. So if you're going to do something that's going to be different, the world is against that. It's the last thing the world wants. If our minds were changed, the world would stop killing babies in the womb all the time. I mean, we'd stop that. That wouldn't go on. We wouldn't be giving high government jobs to men in dresses if people got saved. The SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, wouldn't include CRT in their resolutions like they did several years ago. Like that language would work. That's not even a Christian thing. Everything would be better without the government's help even. And the government wouldn't like that. Wait a minute. You got better without us? Movements built on lies would collapse. You know, there's a bunch of movements running today. They're built on lies. They would collapse. And I'll say this just as an afterthought. Pepsi and Coke would be served in the same restaurant if everybody got saved. All that division would go away. Thirdly, what is it to conform to the will of God? What is conformity to the will of God? Well, we're given the result of a transformed mind in this verse. Has anybody ever asked you the question? They don't really mean for you to answer. Are you out of your mind? Parents, have you mentioned that to your children? Are you out of your mind? They don't mean, are you out of your mind? They mean, you are out of your mind. And being out of your mind means that the faculty given to you to use in your mind has somehow short-circuited. And you are no longer in your right mind. The demoniac that Jesus healed was not in his right mind until he was healed. And then they found him clothed and in his right mind. Before that, you couldn't even come across. He lived in the tombs and attacked people. The world knows the will of God by the fact of creation. The Bible says that we know by being in the image of God, certain things are right and wrong. We know when our parents tell us to do something, we're supposed to do that, but we just don't want to. But when we are transformed in our minds, there's a practical discovery of the will of God. We want to know the will of God. We desire to know more about that. We own the will of God. We discover and own the will of God. We don't shun it as the world does. Doc gave us those three things about the will of God that are requirements for us. We are to know the will of God, do the will of God, and love the will of God. Christians can do that, not the world. The world is alienated from God. The nature of God's will is mentioned here as that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's not the world's estimation of it. In the garden, remember what the devil did in the garden? He, told Adam and Eve that the word of God would be the worst thing, the will of God would be the worst thing for them to follow, because it would mess them up. They would not have a better life. They would not have the higher life. God doesn't want you to know these things. God doesn't want you to go here. And that's what he told them. That's what the world says. The world says, you know, you don't want the will of God. It's going to mess you up. When Peter preached at Pentecost, he says, be saved from this perverse generation. When your mom used to brag on you when you were young, did she say, oh, my little boy, he's so perverse? No. It's not a compliment. If you're perverse, you got to, that's twisted. You got to change. Be transformed. The will of God is good here. The will of God is acceptable. It means it's pleasing to God. It may not be acceptable to the world, but it's pleasing to God. And it is perfect. The Bible says that the word of God is perfect. It means it accomplishes the purpose for our existence. It takes us where we should be. There's a song, Huey Lewis, I want a new drug, one that does what it should. One that doesn't make me feel too bad, doesn't make me feel too good. But if you get a drug, the drug fixes this. But it might cause this. You got a whole length of things. You ever watch a commercial? This drug is good for your headaches. However, it may kill you, lame you, blind you, make you eat broccoli. There's a hundred things that might cause bad. Oh, but it might fix that one thing you got problem. It's not perfect. The will of God is perfect. If we follow the will of God, we are made for that, and we will be the people we're supposed to be. It accomplishes that purpose. Now, there's a defense and an offense of this. And the defense would be for those who are lost. If you don't know the Lord, your transformation must be to become a Christian, to be kept from the conformity of the world to the degree that you are always alienated from God and hostile in your mind to God. So Peter said at Pentecost, be saved from this perverse generation. And the way to do that is to run to Christ. Our Lord Jesus, in the old covenant, they would make sacrifices. And the sacrifices would be outwardly holy, spotless. And the people would come and they would lay their hands on the sacrifice. And they would identify themselves with that sacrifice. Their sins would be attached to the sacrifice. The holiness outward of the sacrifice would then be transferred to them. So the sacrifice would get the sin. They would get the temporary righteousness from it. The sacrifice was killed, taking our sin, paying for it symbolically. We get righteousness. But in Jesus, the Lamb of God, we have that fulfilled. We place our hands in faith on Christ. He takes our sins. We in turn get his righteousness to us. He died for our sin. We get his righteousness. Now when God sees us in Christ, we are as holy as Jesus in him. When we die, we will ascend as he did. We will be with God as he is. See, that's the transfer. That's what the lost need. But for those of us who are believers, verse 1 of Romans 12 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Christians are the targets that Paul is pointing to here. He's writing to Christians mainly. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That you're the sacrifice. The sacrifice for your atonement has been paid. Now you're the sacrifice. We're the sacrifice to God. All you got work to do. You got work and play. And you got that. No, you're the first thing is you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The first thing is to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. And we have that in Christ in position. But then it speaks of your logical service to God. This is what our logical service to God is. And it says, spiritual service of worship. It's a little bit confusing that. It's saying that We are made by God, for God, and our logical service is to serve God. My grandmother made me fried apple pies because I'm a diabetic. And she just didn't put sugar in it. Had just as much carbs, by the way. I didn't know that at the time. It had just as many carbs as it does with the sugar, pretty much. But, you know, they were mine. And so she was ever in my heart. She made me fried apple pies. Put my name on it. Scott. Somebody else tries to eat those. Can't have them. I favored her. If God has saved us and we love him, he gets our service. He gets our love. Now, one other thing, there's a notable lack of courage in the world. We've seen it. A lot of us are what we are today because our parents have been courageous. Or we've had friends and we've had church that was courageous. That people stood and said, no, that's not right. This is the right way. And there's a lack of that these days. Someone says something and everybody's going, oh, we got to accommodate that. You don't have to do that. There's not enough courage. You don't have to be, you know, in the military to be courageous. The Bible says all cowards will have their part in the lake of fire. And I always wondered about that, but this is it. Those who will not stand for Christ are cowards. It's always cost something to stand for Christ. But with a transformed mind, we will not become corrupted and conformed to this world. Someone asked one time, have you ever stopped to think and never started again? You ever stopped and think and that was it? Forgot to start. Or you said, what was I thinking when I did that? People want an iPhone 15, I hear. I think all you have to do is kind of just plug it in and it runs the house. Washes the dishes, cooks, drives, spies on your every move. But, you know, this is Apple's product, an iPhone 15. Everybody wants it. I mean, I don't really care. But everybody wants an iPhone 15. How about a new mind? I don't want Siri talking to me. I turned Siri off at the first. I would say, you know, Snicker, don't jump up on there. Siri would go, what is it you wanted? You know what we need? I mean, this is the greatest thing. To even talk about having a new mind and it be possible and it be given to us right here and being told to get it. You would think you can't get a new mind once you're in the mold that you're born in. You cannot get out of it. But we're told right here that you don't have to stay in that mind. You can get a new one in Christ. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, wow, could it be even better than an iPhone 15? Yeah. Let me encourage you in that. The world will corrupt us. The world will discourage us. The world, the devil will tempt us to sin, and after we've sinned, he'll chide us for listening to him. But you want a new mind? There it is. We're even told, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that your life is lived in the will of God. Let's pray. It seems like it'd be impossible to get a new mind, but Lord, it's not only possible, but it is commanded that in Christ, even as the apostle says, we have the mind of Christ. Oh Lord, may we want it, and may we have it, and may this world be transformed by more citizens of it who are your people. That we not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess some of you ladies will go and do something. David's going to ask you, David's going to ask you to.
Be the mind of Christ, my Savior. All right, 328. Let's all stand as we.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour.
Songs. The Lord has blessed us here. We, in preparation of the serving the food and all, I want us to consider.